1, 2, 1, 2. Right. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Can you really? Gosh, it's a miracle. Morning, folks. Oh, I can come forward now a bit. That's a bit. How are we? Good, 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 good. Praise the Lord. I'm going to do this now because you're obviously going to forget. Is it on Sunday, the 17th of December? All right. It's our Christmas celebration. 6 p.m. Join us with Carol. Oh, join us for carols. Mince pies and mulled wine. Not necessarily in that order. So this is our annual Christmas celebration, which we do at Christmas. And it's a great time to invite friends, family, people you like, people you don't like. You know, you can bring them to come on down. And it's a great time to come, and it's a great time to celebrate together and to have a real presence in the town here. There's a lot of this stuff going on, if you hadn't noticed. And, you know, it's a real great opportunity to do that. I was outside this morning drinking coffee. This guy came up to me who I know. He said, oh, what's going on in there then, eh? Ah, you've asked a question now. So this is what we do. So what's the date? What time? See, I knew I should have got that over and done with. Okay, there'll be a test at the end, okay? There will be a test at the end. When Stephen said, I'm going to sing, he paused just a little bit too long before he said in the midst of, did you notice that? Did you all get quite excited? I'm going to sing in the midst of the storm. But it is, it's very interesting. You know, we had Stephen say about singing in the midst of the storm. Do you know the thing about storms is that storms do blow over? It does. When you're in the midst of it, you think, is this going to go on forever and ever? But, you know, those clouds do go away, the sun does come back, and, you know, things get back to a sense of normality at some point. So it doesn't last forever. And we've got to keep our focus on that. That's really, really quite important. So we're singing in the midst of a storm. Now, last time we were here, Steve Huckett spoke. Where's Steve? What did Steve say? I'm only asking the question. What did Steve say? What really stuck in your mind?
Dance in the river.
Dance in the river. Dance in the river. You've got to dance in the river. It's important, eh? Do you remember that, Steve? Dance in the river. Has anybody danced in the river? Yeah. Very interesting. Interesting fact, actually. From a Greek philosopher, I've said this before and I'll say it again, Heraclitus, 5th century BC, said this, you can't step in the same river twice. Quite clever, isn't it, really? Because the river's always flowing. So you can't step in. People want, but you can't, because the river is always flowing. And it's important that we keep in the flow of the river of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is doing. So you can't step in the same river twice. Greek philosopher. Interestingly, Paul quotes Greek philosophers about two or three times I can remember. Acts 17 at the Areopagus, Mars Hill. He also quotes to Titus as well. In Titus, he quotes some Greek philosophers and poets. He was connecting to people of their own time. And there's some quite interesting sayings. This was another one I heard, which Karen made me aware of. Hippocrates said this, you know, the Greek physician. This is an interesting one, okay? And what he said to his students, you know, who were practitioners, doctors, was this. Before you heal someone or before you treat someone, ask him if he's willing to give up the things that make him sick. That's a good one, isn't it? Before you come to the Lord and ask for healing, are you willing to give up the things that make you sick? It's a good point. It's a good point. Are we willing to change? Are we willing to change? Just would I throw that one in for free? It doesn't cost any extra, but it's a good point. So you can't stand in the same river twice. We were listening to Martin Smith yesterday, weren't we? Because you showed that video, wasn't it? It was Martin Smith. We were watching another one yesterday from his album from last year, which was around dancing in the fire. You need to dance in the fire. So we need to sing, we need to dance, we need to rejoice, and we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, don't we? And that is such a crucial, crucial part. If you're dancing in the river and you don't fix your eyes on Jesus, you're going to fall over because of the power of the flow. So we have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And this is really, really crucial. It's really, really crucial this time. Because we are at a particular time in history now where we need to fix our eyes on Jesus more than ever, ever before. We need to do that. We see the things that are going on. We've heard about the things that are happening, the things that are going on in the world at the moment, and the terrible things we see in the Middle East, and what's happening in Israel and Gaza and that part of the world. And we see all the terrible things. But underneath all of that, there is a spiritual element of what's going on. God has a purpose, he has a plan. We see a war in the natural, but there is a war in the spiritual. Because we're at that point in history now where things are starting to accelerate quite quickly. And there's never been a time like now where you need to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. You need to be in the flow of the river. You need to be rejoicing in the storm and not looking at the clouds. You need to be dancing in the fire, so that we can know where we're going and who lives within us. It's absolutely crucial. Always a rule of thumb. If you want to know where we are in history, always look to what's happening in Israel. It's a point that always happens. All the prophecies around the end times are around that part of the world. You know, when we see what's happening there, there's a spiritual battle that's going on. And that's what we need to look at. But we are living in a particular age, and we are living in an age of deception. Have you noticed that? Wow. Who can you trust nowadays? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm looking at the TV now. I'm looking at adverts on the TV. Have you noticed something? Yeah. It's all Christmas now. Christmas is coming. Christmas is here. The decorations are here. Where's Kath Brown? Gone. Wow. The rapture happened. We've all missed it. Kath has got a Christmas jumper on. We are being bombarded now by Christmas adverts. Those adverts which are trying to tell you what you need. You must buy this stuff. You must buy these things. If you don't buy that perfume for your wife, then you don't really love her. You don't have to buy that perfume. The commercial market is all about getting you to buy things that you don't really need and you can't really afford. It's true. It is true. You know, you've got to have all those strange vegetables from Asda. What's that one? Willy Conk, whatever his name is, or Kevin the Carrot, you know. And you're being told all the time that you've got to have this stuff. It's true, really. Really. And I know. But marketing is like that. Do you remember Mars Bar? A Mars a day. What does a Mars do? Do you know what it really does? Hang on. What? Go on. That's right. A Mars a day helps you work, rest, and play. Rubbish. It makes you really fat. A Mars a day will make you fat and make your teeth drop out. And you end up looking like a Mars bar. What about, this is one you probably don't know, breakfast, the most important meal of the day. Yes. Commercial. It was a commercial thing to get you to say, breakfast is what you need. Eat our cereal. They even used to put a little toy in the box as well. That didn't taste good. They can't do it now. But it's true. You know, what about, Marlboro cigarettes, eh? The healthy option. Your GP will even smoke Marlboro. But, you know, we're living in this time of deception. How many of you have had emails or text messages or something recently and you're not really sure where it's come from? Your parcel has arrived. Click this link. You know? How many of you had someone phone you up and say, hi, we've just noticed there's a problem with your bank account. We need you to transfer your money into safe bank account and then we can protect your money. How many of you had that? You just really do not know. I know sensible people. I do. I know sensible people who have been ripped off by people. And you just really don't know. And we are living in the age of, not Aquarius, of deception. We are living in the age of deception. James, will the video go? I'm going to show you a little video. See if it works.
I want to show you two video clips. One of them is real and one of them is fake. Can you tell which one's real? Okay, this one was kind of easy. Obviously, this is the fake one. Like, you can see the color on the face isn't quite right and hair is obviously like a wig. But this video was like from a few years ago. Let's look at a more recent example. Look at these two clips. One of them is real and one of them is fake. Can you tell which one it is? Okay, what about these? Or these? Which one of these is fake and which one of these is real? Maybe you're some wizard and you could tell, but I couldn't. And my guess is that most people can't. That's because things have changed.
I've never seen it quite like this.
This technology is spreading rapidly.
It's really extraordinary.
Mind-blowing.
Deep fakes.
Deep Tom Cruise was a tipping point for deep fakes.
It's all real.
In the last few years, we've crossed a threshold into a world where moving images are manipulated in ways that make them indistinguishable from reality. This is our new world. It is the world of high-quality deepfakes.
The catastrophic potential to public trust and to markets that could come from deepfake attacks.
This is happening quicker than any of us could have imagined. So I want to get you up to speed on what's happening with deepfakes, how they're revolutionizing entertainment.
It's all my fault.
And creating new challenges and fears for the people who make our laws and the people who enforce those laws.
To make it look like anyone is saying anything at any point in time.
Ultimately, I want to show you how much of a threat deepfakes actually pose and answer the biggest question of all. What is even real?
Seeing is not believing anymore.
See, it's quite frightening, really, isn't it? What's happening in the world now? Because you just really, really don't know. Anything that you see, anything that you read, anything you hear, you really don't know. And that's why at this time, it is absolutely essential that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and we operate in spiritual gifts. Because when you stand and you dance in that river, you need to be moving in the gifts of the Spirit. Because we know that Satan is out to deceive. He's out to confuse and he's out to trick people. And he's done it from the very, very New Testament Muslims that came up. So it was issues because as soon as the resurrection happened, deception came into the churches. So people were coming and saying, yes, but this is not true, and this is not true, and this really wasn't Jesus, and this was Jesus, and he wasn't raised from the dead, and he was raised from the dead, but he wasn't raised from the dead in physical form. You had the Gnostics that said something. And so people were being deceived, and we are living in the world of deception, and we always have done, but it's going up number and number and number of gears. And that's why now that we need to flow in the Spirit, we need to be full of the Spirit, and we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus so we do not get caught. I remember many years ago, I think we've told you this before, we were part of the church pastors group in Athens, and we met there. And all these guys turned up, and they turned up and they said, we have come to pray for all of you. And we said, oh, way! And we have come and we pray 12, 13 hours a day. Now, immediately I start to get a bit panicky because I think, do people really pray 13 hours a day? Is that possible? But we have come to pray for you. And all the other church pastors got really excited about this. You know, we've been praying for people to come, and now they're here. And we went on holiday and came back, and we had a real something did not feel right in our spirit. And when we came back, we found out that they were actually a New Age group. And they had tried to infiltrate the churches, and they were praying. Now, I don't want people praying for me that aren't praying through the Holy Spirit, because you don't know who they're praying to or what they're praying for. So you have to have that discernment. Do you remember Paul, Acts chapter 16? Acts chapter 16. Paul delivers a fortune teller of a spirit. It says a spirit of Python, which was the same that's mentioned in the Oracle in Delphi. And she ended up following Paul. Do you remember that one? And she kept shouting at the top of her voice, these are the people of the Most High God telling you the way to be saved. Do you remember that? These are the people of the Most High God telling you the way to be saved. What's wrong with that? Seems like a great message. After a while, she drove Paul nuts. Really? I mean, can you imagine hearing that every day? To the point that he turned around and rebuked the spirit, because it wasn't of God. So you have to be very, very discerning. And this is where we are at the moment. And it's going to happen as we get nearer and nearer to the end of the age. But, you know, this is what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. His divine power has given us everything that we need. God has equipped the church for action. He has equipped the church with the truth. And we discern the truth. But Jesus also warned us. He said this, Matthew 24, verses 4 to 6. Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but then the end will come. Jesus said, many will come in my name, claiming to be the Christ, claiming to be the Messiah. We've seen many of those, and we still see him today. Matthew 24, 23, 25, he says this, at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive even the elect, even if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. Jesus said that people will come and they will claim to be me and they will do miracles. Because people do miracles, it doesn't mean it's from God. Do you remember Moses and the Egyptian sorcerers and what they did? You see, that's where we have to be discerning, and that's where we have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because it's really exciting where we are. And we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Where do you think we are in the sort of scope of time? We must be quite close, I reckon, to the coming of the Lord. 1 John 2:18. This was written in AD 90. John said this. Dear children, this is the last hour. This is the last hour. AD 90 was the last hour. It's incredible, isn't it? We must be in the last minute now, surely. Are you ready? Are you ready? Seems a long time ago. Wasn't that long ago, really? I read this article and I thought it was quite interesting that Cleopatra lived nearer to the invention of the iPhone than the building of the pyramids in time. Think about that. That's how many thousands of years there were between. We're in the last hour. And this is where we need to be ready, and we need to be ready for action. In 1 John it says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which we have heard is coming and is already in the world. So even then, in AD 90, we were warned about those things. So this is the age, we're in the age of deception, and this is where we need to be fixed, moving in the spirit, dancing in the river, filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we can discern what is of the spirit. And we need to have our eyes focused on him. I was reading a Revelation at 3 o'clock the other morning. Yeah, it was a revelation. I was reading Revelation. And I thought this is really quite remarkable because this was John. This was John, the person who had been with Jesus. And So this is what it says. It says this, and this was written about AD 90. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that is ours in Jesus Christ, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. He was in the Spirit. And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. So this is John. And he hears this voice behind him. So he turns around. He turns around. He says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And amongst the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun in all its brilliance. What a picture. What a picture. If you read Daniel, Daniel says this: I looked up, and before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like crystallite, his face was like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs were like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice was like the sound of a multitude. In my vision at night, I looked up, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancients of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his ever. And then 1,000 years before, that was Daniel. And when John saw him, what happened? When John turned around and saw Jesus, what happened? What did John do? When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. You see, this was John. This was John who was with Jesus. This was John who was called by Jesus from fishing, come and follow me. This was John who saw the miracles. This was John who was at the Mount of the Transfiguration. This was John who was there when he was crucified. This was John who saw the risen Lord. This was John who had leant back at him at the Last Supper. This was John who was on the coast of Galilee when Jesus came and cooked breakfast. This was John, the disciple who Jesus loved. So when John saw him, he fell at his feet as though dead. Do you know why he fell at his feet? He'd seen the Lamb of God. He'd seen the Messiah. Now he was faced with Jesus, the judge. This is Jesus, the one who judges all men. This is the eternal God. This is the one who gave his life for us. This is the one that we will all stand before one day to give an account of our life. This was the true living God that Jesus was faced with. This was the same Jesus that Daniel saw. This is the God that we worship. You know, sometimes we're so casual, we forget who Jesus is. You know, this is not the image that people have of Jesus. You know, we have Christmas coming up, you know, away in a manger. You know, little Jesus in the there, you know. O come, all ye faithful. You know, feed the world. That famous Christmas carol. Last Christmas. I gave you my heart, and then you gave it back to me. This is Jesus. This is not the Jesus that people have the impression of. But this is the reality of God. And we are so privileged to be able to step in that river. We are so privileged to be able to call him Lord, to call God our Father. And so he is the truth. What did Pilate say to Jesus before he was crucified? He asked the question, what is truth? I don't think Jesus answered him, but Pilate looked at him and said, what is truth? What is truth? You see, this is why we need to be really well grounded in our faith. Don't get pulled to the left or right with everything that comes on, every new thing on the scene, every new wave of revival that apparently happens. We have to be very cautious and test. I'm always cautious of people who try and elevate themselves within ministry, because God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. If we want to see more happen, we have to be humble, not to take any glory for ourselves, because all the glory belongs to Him. You know, some of us here have been Christians for a long time. A long time. Well, not really long, but a long time. A long time. And the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, you know, we need to... He talks about the elementary teachings of the faith that we all should know, which are absolutely crucial. Hebrews chapter 6, there's six of them. The first one, repentance that leads from works that leads to death. Repentance from works that lead to death. Faith towards God. Do you notice in that lineup what comes first? Repentance comes first. A bit strange, isn't it? What did Jesus preach? He preached, repent and believe. So repentance, we should all fully know what repentance means. We should all be able to instruct people on repentance. Faith towards God. What does that mean? Believing in the existence of God is not faith. Everybody believes in something. Most people I talk to believe, even the atheists believe that they don't believe. Which is true. Then we've got the doctrine of baptisms. Baptism in water. Baptism in water is a burial of your old self, but it's also an outward proclamation of repentance. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's not an optional bolt-on. He is there to equip you for life in the battle that you live. The doctrine of the laying on of hands. Wow. How many of you know about that one? Can you teach on that one? We should be able to. By our hands, we lay hands on people and we impart healing. Jesus has given us that gift. We can lay hands on people, we can impart spiritual gifts. Jesus has given us that gift. We can lay hands on people to set them into leadership, to set them aside. That's important. If we don't lay hands and set people aside into leadership, then we can set them up to fail. It's a gift that God has given. What about the next one? Resurrection of the dead. That's an exciting one. How many of us can really teach on the resurrection of the dead? Do you know that every single person that ever's lived is going to be resurrected? Do you know that? How many of you think you're going to live forever in heaven, floating around in some sort of spiritual form? Do you think that? It's not going to happen. It's not what the Bible says. Everyone will spend eternity physically in a resurrected body. But Jesus said, it depends where you live. John chapter 5. It's such a crucial point. When you understand that, it changes your whole outlook of life. That we will, do you realize, Job said, I will see God in my flesh. I will see God in my flesh. We will see that Jesus in our flesh. We will live for eternity, resurrected. Resurrection is eternal. And then we've got final judgment or eternal destiny. Something we don't really talk about a lot in the church these days, because we don't like to talk about those things. But it's all there, about we will live forever and ever. Eternity is a different realm that we move into and we come into. And so the devil wants to deceive you out of everything, really, if he can, and people. And so we live in the age of deception, but we live in the truth. Just a couple of things just to finish on. A couple of scriptures just to finish on. Jesus says this, but when the Spirit of truth comes, the emphasis on the Spirit of truth, that's the emphasis, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. But the counsel of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. That's why you need to be in the Spirit, because the Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And that's the greatness, and that's the grace and the love and the blessing that God has given us. So, beloved, in this time and in this age, it's an exciting time. We are going to see great things happen. Let us be wise. Let us be discerning. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Dance in the river, sing in the storm, and dance in the fire for the glory of God. Amen. When's the carol service?
When's the carol service? Hold on, let me just check a minute. 17th, 6 p.m. Apparently there are cards outside by the front door on the table on the right-hand side as you're going out. So if you want to take any for friends, relatives, someone in the street, whatever, just hand them out. Then there are plenty there. And if you need more, then go and see Karen at the centre, and there are lots in the centre as well. So thank you, Steve, for that. I just want to say to everyone that if you want prayer, then we want to pray for you. If you can stand the cold any longer, I'm just looking at everybody sitting there in their coats. But we'd love to pray for you. You know, some of the things that Steve mentioned there, you know, we'd like to lay hands on you and for you to be healed. That's what we'd like to do. You know, I'd love to get to the point where we lay hands on people and they're resurrected, but I prefer no one to drop down dead first, because obviously that would need to happen. So that would be not my preference. We'd just stay alive. But we would do that as well, of course. If that did happen. But if you want prayer, please come forward. There'd be people around. We'd love to pray for you. So let me just pray, and then we'll get a warming cup of coffee, hopefully. So Father, we just thank you for our time together this morning. Lord, we do for the things that are right for us will sink into our hearts, that Father, we'll just receive your word into our life. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to keep focused on you, that we won't be distracted by the things of the world. We won't be distracted by what's going on around us, but we'll be focused totally and completely on you. So, Lord, I just pray that you'd be with us this week. I pray, Lord, that you will walk in step with us this week. Father, help us to be a people that walk in step with you, that follow your ways, that know your paths. So, Lord, I just pray that you will bless us this week. You'll be with us. And Father, that those you bring us into contact with will be able to just share your love, your joy, your peace with them. So Father, we thank you. We praise you. And Lord, just bless our time of fellowship together, I pray. Amen.